We thank you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome this morning. You may greet one another in the house of the Lord. Praise God. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to those of you online, those watching. We're glad to have you with us. We invite you to come if you're in the area, or if you're not, hallelujah, come to Ogallala and enjoy some time here. We have a beautiful Lake McConaughey. It's a good place to come relax during the week. Amen. Praise God. Well, if it's your first time, I'll go ahead and start with these announcements. Our website is vlfc.church. And there you can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, testimonies, our past messages are there, video, audio, and sermon notes. And so we're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. Amen. Sundays, doors open at 9. We have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. Thank you all who came and brought your supply this morning. What a difference it makes when we start everything in prayer. You know you've been prayed for this morning. Each and every one of you, you already were prayed for before you even got here. Praise God. What a blessing that is. And so we're thankful for that. We do have Friday prayer here from 9 to 10, and we invite you to come join us at Friday prayer. We pray over the church, over you all, over our community and the plan of God and what he's doing here. You know, prayer prepares the way. Amen. So if we pray into something, it's like the path is being paved out ahead of us. God gives us those words to pray. And so we invite you, every one of us has a river on the inside of us. And so when we all come to prayer and come together, each river is coming together and it's stronger and stronger and mightier. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I just want to share on prayer. You know, we have pre-service prayer here on Sundays, but also Friday prayer. And again, we have taught on the subject of prayer, you know, but, you know, Jesus, when he walked this earth, we see throughout the gospel accounts of him that he would get up early in the morning. He would go away to pray and even sometimes spend all day and all night in prayer. You know, so prayer takes on many different forms. Prayer in its simplest form, if we were to define prayer, it is just simply this. It is communication with God. And it's meant to be a two-way communication, not one-sided. Amen. And so there is prayer petition and different forms, but again, intercessory prayer. And so when we come here together, you know, you can only teach so much about prayer. Prayer is one of those unique subjects that it is really, truly better caught than taught. Amen. And the only way that you're going to be able to really pray and pray effectively and learn how to grow in your prayer life is to catch the spirit of prayer.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so again, I want to encourage you, those of you in the room, you know, whether you're watching this morning online, you know, to come and be a part of prayer because it is dynamic in its working. And here's really the truth about it. Lord, help me with this. Before God does anything in the earth, it has to be prayed out. Amen. You know, he says, let us make a highway for our God through prayer.
Yep.
God wants to move in the earth, but before he can move in the earth, it takes men and women who are willing to invest time before him, working with him to pray out his will into the earth. Amen. There's things that have to be dealt with in the realm of the spirit before the spirit of God can show up in manifestation and demonstration and visitation. Amen. So what we're really doing is making room for Holy Spirit to have his way, you know, yes, in our lives, but through others, you know, to impact our community. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you with that. So again, prayer is better caught than taught. So some will come and catch that. Amen. And pray these things out with us. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rodney. Praise the Lord. And so that's true. And so invite someone to church with you. You know, on the way this morning to church, we stopped by the store. I invited the checkout gentlemen to church. And of course, they're short on Sundays and they need to work Sundays. And I said, well, we have Wednesday night. And he thanked me. He said, yeah, he likes to go to church. And I told him where we are. Same with Friday over the weekend. I saw a lady out there and the Lord led me to invite her to church. And I have our cards and it's just loving on the people too. You know, there's people out there that nobody might talk to them really or they haven't been seen by anyone. Maybe they don't have any friends. And so we're in the community and we could be a family together with them. People are searching for to belong somewhere and to be loved on and those kinds of things. And then ultimately, each and every one of us has gifts and callings on the inside of us. And we're here to help bring those out and see what the purpose and plan of God is for your life. And so praise God, that was a blessing to be able to invite them to church. And so also want to let you know we're in phase one, final stretch of phase one for our building project. We're believing for the $5,000 above and beyond our normal tithes and offerings. There's a QR code on your screen and you can scan that to find out more about the vision for phase one and the whole phase. The whole vision really that we have out here. But we are, as you see here, we have these posters that we have for each and every one of you. You can take home, put it up on your refrigerator or in a high traffic area so you can see it. But we're believing for a building of our own. We're thankful for this rented space and this is awesome. But the building of our own, we have the sanctuary, the fellowship hall, the youth and children's ministries, and the connect group areas, men's and women's ministries as well, our coffee area, praise God. And so with that, on our way to that, we're if you have it on your heart to volunteer, we have our coffee station right there, somebody to just oversee that. We have availability for greeters and ushers and children's ministry. So if the Lord has these things on your heart, come talk to us, our worship team. Amen. And so these are some areas that are available to serve in. And so we're asking you to believe for it, release your faith with us on these projects, and we're going to see it come to pass. And we're moving forward in it. So far, $4,317 has come in. That's $683 remaining for phase one. So praise God. And this morning, if you're sowing towards that, there's building fund online. You can choose general fund or building fund on the offering envelope. Just write it on there. If it's by check you're sewing, write it on the check. And that is to VLFC for the checks. I'm skipping ahead of the offering and message here. But if you're given by cash or credit card, please completely fill out that area. Sign if it's credit card. And if it's cash as well, put your information on there. And so this morning for our offering, if you want to turn to Psalm 35, verse 27, Psalm 35, 27, I'll be reading a few other scriptures, but this is the main one because, you know, God delights in our prosperity and not just financial prosperity, spirit, soul, body, families, relationships in all areas, prosperous. That's what he has for us. So praise God, you're here. You're hooked up with the plan of God for your life. Psalm 35, 27 says, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. What happens when you're magnifying something? They get bigger and bigger. When you have that magnifying glass and, you know, as a kid, you're looking at the ant or, you know, in science class, if you hold it long enough, maybe it'll start a little flicker or a little flame. But when you're magnifying something, that thing is getting bigger. So when we're magnifying the Lord, he's bigger and bigger in our life and everything else is fading away. So I want to encourage you, turn your eyes upon Jesus, praise God, and everything else will grow strangely dim, as the song said. But isn't that true? When we're magnifying the Lord, so praise God for that. He delights in the prosperity of his children. Did you know that? We just read it, right? We just read it. So we see that it's true. Do you believe it though? And are we, praise God, praise God. Praise God. We don't have to struggle to accept his provision or doubt what he wants to do and prosper us in every area of our life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And so we're hearing the word of God on prosperity this morning. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Psalm Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper wherever they go. And I just want to share this. When we started VLFC, I would see a tree, and the scripture Psalm 1:3 came to me. Well, our logo here is a tree. And don't you know our address here is 55 River Road, like trees planted by the rivers of living water. So that is a prophetic picture. He literally gave us this logo, and we literally are on River Road. Praise God. There's more to that, but he's really been highlighting that to me lately. Glory to God. And Deuteronomy 8:18, I'll just read this last one here. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful, to be wealthy, to get wealth in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So we want to begin meditating on these scriptures more and more. Praise God. And I want to pray this over us this morning before we say our offering confessions. I have this prayer here. So Father, we thank you that you want us to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper, because we are your children. We know that as we study, follow, and obey your word, we will succeed in all that we do. Each of us is like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing good fruit in every season. We know that you give us the power to be successful and get wealth in all you've called us to do. We trust you when you promise to bring sinners' wealth to us, because we know that you receive pleasure when we are your servants prospering. We know that you won't withhold any good thing from us, and that your blessing makes us the righteous rich. And we praise you for all that you're doing in and through us at Victory Life Family Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's say our offering confession this morning. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more, and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angel, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, amen. We may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula, for that word this morning. Yes, we are blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Blessed to be a blessing. Glory to God. The purpose in the kingdom for accumulation is distribution. Amen. Blessed to be a blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for this space, for this opportunity to gather in your name, in fellowship. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth, and we receive here today that you are unveiling truth to us, speaking to our hearts, to our minds. And Lord, whatever you have for us in this service today, Lord, those in this room, those of you watching, whenever you are, wherever you are, reach out by faith and receive a word from the Lord today. He's here. He is here. The Spirit of truth is here to minister what you need. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to be sharing this morning on the subject of the authority of the believer. And I believe for revelation knowledge for each one of us today, but also specifically, whatever you need in your life, in your body, in your home, in your family, in your finances, the Spirit of truth is here to give you a word to minister breakthrough, to minister victory, to minister freedom, whatever it is, reach out and you receive it by faith. Glory to God, and watch God show up and show out in your life. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles with you here in the room, those of you online, let's hold it up big together. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it. In Jesus' name, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God again. Colossians 3:17, he said, whatever you do in word or in deed or in action, do all in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So we were sharing here on Wednesday night, you know, Peter and John. I just love Peter's boldness. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's funny, we talk about Peter's boldness. You know, Peter denied the Christ 3 times in one night. Not so bold, not so bold. But just a few days later, he's in the upper room, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit shows up, and all of a sudden, Peter is a preaching machine. The man comes downstairs, preaches the gospel, and 3,000 people get saved. I had the opportunity last December, such a blessing, to go on a trip to Israel along with a number of other pastors and leaders. And we went to that upper room, and just looking at that vicinity, it's like these are just crowded, you know, narrow streets and corridors. There wasn't this huge amphitheater. So to me, it's like, how did he come down and preach and 3,000 people get saved that day? It's like, how did this happen? This is just, you know, just thinking about the mechanics of this. How did this physically happen? Well, the Bible says it. Amen. So somehow or another, his voice was amplified. It was carried. It was spread. But 3,000 souls got saved that day. And day after day after day, they were just pouring in. So this same man who had been timid, had denied the Christ, is preaching a fiery gospel. And then a few days later, Peter and John are at the beautiful gate, and he's just rolling on a hot streak, you might say. He just rolls up and sees this man, you know, lame from his mother's womb, and he looks at him for a minute, and the man's looking at him. And he's discerning by the Spirit, you know, this is something going on with this man, and this just ought not be. This ought not be. And so he's hearing from God what to do. And then, you know, Holy Spirit shows him what to do. And then he says, hey, look here. Such as I have, give I you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now notice here, Peter did not need to have faith to use the name. He had to have faith in the name. Amen. So as you and I are growing and developing in faith, specifically using faith in the name and realizing that the name can do all that Jesus can do. Jesus said in John 14, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do. That's power of attorney. Jesus gave the church, the believer, power of attorney to use his name. Who is Jesus? You go throughout all of the Old Testament, you see all those revelation names. Jehovah Nissi, he is our victory. Jehovah Rapha, he is our healer. Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider. He is all of that. And when we will call on that name with faith in that name, faith in who's backing that name, power is present. And now there's a flow of that power to do that work. When you go throughout the book of Acts, you'll see every single one of them doing the exact same thing. They're using the name. So in starting in January of 2025, we did a 12-part series here on the name of Jesus. We taught on some of these things in the Gospels regarding the name, and then we went through every single instance, specifically in the book of Acts, where the disciples were using that name, and they were using it just like Jesus used it on that side of the cross, and they were getting the same results. It wasn't them. It was the name of Jesus and all the power of heaven backing it. Now, Jesus said on that side of the cross, hey, it's not me either. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. It's not me. It's the Father dwelling in me. He does his works. How did he do it? Through the word. Through the word. How are these disciples doing it? Through the exact same word, but now they're using the name of Jesus right along with that, and now all of heaven is back in that word. It wasn't Jesus then. It wasn't Peter and John and James and all the others on this side in this day. It's the name of Jesus. It's the living word of God going somewhere to happen when the believer will use it in faith. And so today we're going to be starting a new series called The Authority of the Believer. Glory to God. And so just looking at this, you know, we have been teaching in series format, you know, since we started this church, and that's just how the Lord has dealt with me. You know, everyone's got their own flow, but this is just how Holy Spirit has used me. And so I am a pastor, but I'm also a teacher. That's just, you know, everyone has a grace. That's my grace. Amen. And so I can preach and I have at times, but by and large, I am a teacher. I like to go to the Word of God and just take these foundations. And when I see it, I just keep on mining and keep on mining and just keep on mining. It's like, just ring it out, you know? And then when you get what, you know, you're looking at it from the beginning, it's like, oh yeah. But as you go, you just find it is inexhaustible. The Word of God is inexhaustible. You know, it says deep calls unto deep. Well, you cannot plumb the depths of God, but I'm having fun trying. Glory to God. But we're going to start. And this is a 12-part series. Now, today is 1A. And in working in this, you know, my notes, as you know, they're quite copious. But we're going to be preaching 1B on this Wednesday night. And then by and large, I believe we'll have them on one part sermons here, but glory to God. But our foundation text for this is Genesis chapter 1. Glory to God. So if you're in your Bibles, that is right near the front of the book. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 1, you know, Genesis, this word Genesis, it is the book of beginnings. The book of first mention, you might say. So Genesis 1, 26 through 28, then God said, let us, so who's us? That is the Godhead, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness to rule, or that word also means dominion, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, and over all of the earth itself, and every creature that crawls upon it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every creature that crawls upon the earth. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. So here today, authority begins in Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter of the Bible, the first word spoken over man, the first revelation of God's intention for humanity was to have dominion, to have authority. But in this, he spoke identity. He was speaking to their identity, to their nature. So even before all of this, just thinking about the subject of authority, before Satan enters in and starts spreading lies, glory to God, before fear came, before the curse came, before the fall came, before death existed, before sicknesses, diseases, for any of this was known, God declares dominion or rulership over man. And so, and thinking about this, you know, and we're all, everyone really seems to do this. And as long as I can remember, you know, thinking about this, if I were to go and ask you to define yourself, who are you? People will always say, oh, I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor. You know, I'm a truck driver. You know, I'm a business owner. So again, they're always talking about, they've taken their identity from what they do. And by that same token, when they start with those first one or two things that they will tell you, that's where they're taking their identity from. That's where they're taking their self-worth from. And by that, they measure and compare themselves one to another. Amen?
Yeah.
But here's the truth. The only one who has the right to define you is the one who made you. The only one who has that right is not you, it's not others, it's the one who designed you, and that is God alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in sense, this Bible is your owner's manual. All right? So I've heard it said, you know, it's like, okay, basic instructions before leaving earth, you know, Bible. And that's not literally what it means, but, you know, in essence, it really is. You know, this is your owner's manual. This is telling you, this is your purpose. This is who you are. This is what you do. This is what you can have. And this is how it's supposed to be. This is what this was designed for. So don't go out here to the world. Don't look to yourself to try to define, to try to add value. No. Qualified. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So in this instance, you know, Genesis 1, this 26 through 28 is really the constitutional charter of mankind. It reveals four things. Number one, identity, who man is. Number two, your nature, what man carries. Number three, it carries your assignment, what man is authorized to do. And number four, it is a revelation of authority, which is your legal right to now fulfill that assignment. So again, identity, who you are, nature, what you carry, assignment, what you're authorized to do, and authority, which is your legal right to actually go do that. This is given to us in divine order, and we ought not get them out of order. All right. So again, this series is really a doctrinal foundation of the believer's authority. Now, today we're just going to highlight identity and nature, unless y'all want to bear with me an extra hour. But looking at this, the order of this, before God gave man something to do, God gave man someone to be. Amen. Glory to God. If you do not know who you are and you do not know what you carry, it will be impossible for you to walk out what God has designed for you to do. Amen. So let's get right into this. Number one, identity. Man was created in the image of a ruler. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So again, identity is the very first revelation God gives mankind. Amen. So again, identity will always precede purpose. Identity will precede authority. God's not going to ask you to go do something, to accomplish anything, without first telling you, this is who you are. This is who you are. And you're made in the image and likeness of me. Glory to God. So that alone, before we start trying to think about anything else, takes major mind renewal. This is why Paul, this is a theme really throughout the Bible. You know, Joshua, you know, in chapter 1, God tells him, hey, meditate in this word, the book of the law, which we would call the Bible, the word of God. He says, you meditate in this day and night, all day, every day. You read the word, you think about the word, you filter every thought through the word. He says, then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll be of good success. Only then. Why? I need to paint a new image of victory in you, Joshua. Especially if you're going to lead the nation of Israel successfully, I need major mind renewal to take place in you. Now we see this again, you go throughout the the New Testament, but Paul, I really like this best over in Romans 12, 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. But he even gives a little more definition too. He says, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen. You need to know what the will of God is for you, who you are. So again, in the New Testament, there's roughly 180 references to in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in Him, in whom. All of those is literally, so when I read those, I pause and then I, Rodney in Christ, Rodney in whom? Because Galatians 3:27 says, at the new birth, you were baptized into Christ. Paul writes this in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified or co-crucified with Christ. So again, in every part, he's identifying himself with Christ. And he goes on to explain that. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. The old Rodney dies. He's nailed to the cross right there with Christ. So Paul, he said, I identify at the new birth. I'm identifying that in the spirit, I was there. In the spirit, when he dies, I died. When he spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, I spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth. But most importantly, when he was resurrected from the dead, I was resurrected too. When he ascended, I ascended. Glory to God. He says, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in him. In the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I'm not looking to self. He says, I'm looking to Christ. And whoever Christ is telling me who I am. He says, and John writes it this way in 1 John 4:17. He says, as he is, so am I in this world. Not someday, now. Glory to God. This is not a someday gospel. It all belongs to you right now. In Christ. Now renew your mind. Glory to God. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. So again, identity, praise God, will always precede purpose. Look at this word, Hebrew word for image. It is the word selim. It means representation or a reflection. So if you can imagine, I'm looking into a mirror and it's reflecting back who I am. Now he's not saying that physical body, he's saying in the realm of the spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. The real you, the eternal you, is your spirit man. It's not this flesh and blood. All right. So it is reflection. It is one who carries the nature of another. It is a visible expression of an invisible reality. It is a delegated likeness. I'm reminded here, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm just going to read this to us right quick. And verse 17, 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, seeing the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces, as in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image. The same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So what he's saying is, when I'm beholding him in the book, when I'm beholding him, he said, this book is just a reflection. I'm beholding his image and it's revealing to me my new nature. And as I do so, I'm being transformed from glory to glory to glory. What is happening? Like an onion, all of this world, all of that old nature, all of that stuff is just falling off. It's just falling off. And really what is Michelangelo, famous painter, sculptor, Sistine Chapel, things like this. You know, they interviewed him, regarding, you know, these sculptures and stuff, because he had some beautiful, beautiful sculptures, you know, angels and all this stuff. And so they were asking him, you know, how do you do this? And so what he told them was, and again, this is, you talk about the grace of God. He said, I see this hunk of rock, this marble. He said, well, that's what you see, but I see the angel. I see this image, and all I do is I chisel off what doesn't belong, and I just set it free. That's exactly what the Word of God does. That's exactly what Paul is writing about over here in 2 Corinthians 3. He's saying, "This, I see the real you, and if you'll just behold, you will become, because it's all this other stuff, all the other lies are just falling away. They're just falling away, and the true you is just being revealed. It's there all along. It's there at the new birth. It's there in perfect, but we just need to wash away." That's why he says over in Ephesians 5, the washing of the water of the Word. It's just washing off that filth. It's washing off that junk and just revealing, this is my true identity. And now that I know my identity, now I know how to operate in my purpose and my authority. Glory to God. Jesus operated in perfect identity, and for that reason, he operated in perfect authority. Glory to God. Huh. The mirror that lies. You know, I was thinking about this. Have you ever looked in a funhouse mirror, maybe at a carnival or something like this? They have like a little house of mirrors, and you go in there, you know, and it's a reflection. But it's always distorted. It makes you look tall, wide, short, stretched. You know, the problem isn't you, it's the mirror. And this is such a true thing. Most believers spend their entire lives trusting in distorted mirrors. Again, they're not looking to the truth. Or when they read the Bible, they're reading it like a story. They're reading it like it's someone else's story. And they're not realizing this is God. This is a love letter to you. He's letting you know this is what happened. This is what I did for you in the plan of redemption. And now in the New Testament, this is who you are. And then we see the book of Revelation. He's letting you know about the good things that are to come even yet still. Glory to God. But again, the world or most believers, a lot of times they're looking at these distorted mirrors of trauma, culture, comparison to one another. They're looking at their own failure, shame, sickness, disease, or unworthiness or unrighteousness. These mirrors do not tell you the truth. They tell the distortion. But Genesis chapter 1 is the true mirror. It shows you as God designed you before the distortion, before the fall of man, before fear entered in. So identity, your identity begins with the mirror that God holds up, not the mirror that life hands you. Glory to God. So again, we see further detail of this when we're looking in the New Testament, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. Again, all of this points back to the original image and likeness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Identity determines capacity. God did not create man as a servant or a lesser being who's trying to imitate God. God created you as a son, as a daughter carrying God's nature. So in this, identity is not achieved, it is received. Your identity is not to be discovered, it's just simply to be revealed. Amen? The nature of God determines the identity of man. Glory to God, man's identity flows from God's identity because man was created as an image bearer and representative. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," he's not describing your appearance, not your flesh. He's describing your essence, your nature, your function. Amen. So the first and most important truth about humanity is it is the truth that shapes every truth. It is the truth that determines destiny, purpose, and authority, and it is your identity. Amen. So again, man's identity is rooted in God's identity. We are not to be defined, again, according to the flesh, by our past, our failures, our emotions, our circumstances, our environment, our upbringing, our culture. None of that is to define you. And yet, that is sadly what happens. If you don't know the truth, if you don't even know to look here, then the only thing that is left just is to look to all of these things. Well, I'm this color, I'm this light, I'm this dark, I have this and I have that, and I'm this tall, and all of these things. Again, your job, you know, most of the time, what tends to define people. I am a plumber. Well, no, you're not. You're not a plumber. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. Now you have the job assignment of a plumber. But that's not who you are. Glory to God, not by far. That is so far beneath you to take on that image. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So looking at this, man is to be defined by God's identity because man was created in God's image. You know, this is the main reason the enemy will always attack your identity first, because if he can distort identity, he can absolutely destroy your, neutralize your authority. He knows if I can keep you ignorant of who you really are, you will be rendered helpless and powerless, and you'll be at my mercy. Sickness, disease, all these other things, I can just strap it on you left and right, and you won't even resist it. You are literally being led to the slaughter. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, Satan is a thief. He doesn't have real power. If he had real power, he would absolutely take every one of you out right now. He can't do it. It's not up to him. He doesn't have that. Amen. But he'll steal. And how does he do it? He steals the word. The number one assignment of the devil is steal the word, to keep you in darkness, to keep this hidden from you. So again, if I can keep you out here dazed and confused and thinking I'm just this and I'm just that, and oh yeah, oh yeah, you're done. Stick a fork in you. You know, you're in his territory. No, that's not the real you. Again, if he can distort your identity, he can neutralize your authority. In thinking about this, a lion cub doesn't know if it's a lion at first. It doesn't understand its roar, its strength, or its authority, but the nature is already there. Identity comes before awareness. Again, many believers live like lion cubs who do not know that they're lions. They have the nature of a ruler, but the mindset of a fallen man. The enemy's greatest fear is the day that the believer recognizes who they already are, their identity in the image and likeness of God. Glory to God. So again, identity is the foundation of authority. Before we can understand dominion, rulership, or spiritual authority, we must understand our identity. You know, in this authority is not something we strive for. It's something that we stand in. Ha-ha. Ha-ha. Authority, we do not strive for authority. It's something we just simply stand in. It's not something that we earn. It is just something you inherit. The word says over in Romans chapter 8, you have been made a joint heir with Christ. All that Christ is, all that Christ has, all that he was or ever will be, all of the authority of Christ, you're a joint heir. You have been made a partaker. Peter writes this over in 2 Peter chapter 1. You've been made a partaker of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Well, let's just turn over there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, how? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given, past tense, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, he writes this, through the knowledge of him. You've got to know something. If you don't know it, you can't be a partaker of it. But the truth is, he says, divine power has been given to, has already given you all things that you could ever need in this life, everything you could ever need pertaining to godliness in your spirit, in your soul. All of it has been given, but you're going to access it through knowledge of him. Renew your mind. He says, who has called us by his own glory and excellence, by which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these things you might become partakers of the divine nature, sin, and all of its effects that have corrupted and tainted this natural world. He says, I've already delivered you from it. I've already set you free from it. But and when you will renew your mind to this knowledge of this, when you will come to take on and realize this is not the true me. The true me is created in the image and likeness of God with his authority. Now I can live from that place. Now I can actually partake of the divine nature the way God designed me to. I don't have to live far below rights and privileges. Glory to God. Ha ha. Again, identity is the foundation of authority. Hallelujah. So let's look here at number two, our nature. So again, nature is what man carries. Man carries God's ruling nature. Again, in Genesis 1:26, he says, let us make man in our image and then after our likeness. So identity will produce the nature. Nature will produce function, and function produces authority. Again, identity produces nature. Nature will produce function, and function produces authority. So because man is made in God's image, man carries God's ruling DNA, spiritual DNA. So the internal capacity to govern, to administrate, and to steward creation. The word in Hebrew for likeness is the word demuth. It means resemblance, pattern, model, functional, similarity, capacity to operate like the original. You have the capacity to operate like the original, God Himself. Glory to God. So man carries God's functional nature. Man himself is not divine, but man carries divine capacity. Man is not God, but man carries God's nature in delegated form. The DNA test. So I know a lot of folks have done this, and I've thought about it. We just haven't gotten around to it, but it is somewhat interesting. But people take DNA tests to discover where they come from. You know, again, you know, they find out, well, I'm part Native American, or I'm, you know, from, you know, ancestors or from Germany or from this part, you know, and what have you. They want to know their roots, their origin, their identity. And the moment the results come back, everything changes. They start saying, oh, that's why I think like this. That's why I act like this. That's why I'm wired this way. That's why I have this feature over here, right? You know, okay. The DNA in this instance does not create anything. It simply reveals what was already true about you. Genesis chapter 1 is your spiritual DNA test. Amen. So again, the only one who has the authority to define you is the one who created you. So again, Genesis chapter 1, New Testament, all the in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, this is your spiritual DNA test. It reveals your origin. It reveals your nature. It reveals what you carry. You and I, we do not act like God to become like Him. We act like Him because we are His likeness. His demuth. It is already in your spiritual DNA. So again, like Michelangelo, he says, I'm just coming over here and I'm just chiseling off what does not belong to just reveal what's already there. Amen. Again, you're created in His nature with His spiritual DNA. And with that, you're designed with His capacity. You carry His ruling imprint. But she goes on to say, he describes dominion and authority over everything in or on the earth. Glory to God. So again, everything God creates finds its identity in the source from which it came. So looking here just at a few things, God's character. Man was created with God's character, which God is holy, God is righteous, God is good, God is justice. Man was designed to reflect God's moral nature. It's in every man inherently. Authority, now looking at this, authority without God's character will absolutely lead to abuse. Amen. But authority rooted in God's character becomes stewardship. Man was designed to be an under ruler with delegated authority from God to rule this earth, and it was literally to be heaven on earth. It was supposed to represent heaven on earth in every sense of the word. Until the lie came in, until Adam and Eve believed the lie, acted on the lie, this is exactly how it was in operation. Glory to God, man was a steward. God's creativity. Man was created with God's creativity. God creates by speaking. Man creates by speaking God's word. So again, man builds, designs, imagines, innovates. All of these things reflect God's creative nature. So again, God creates by speaking. Man creates by speaking God's word. So again, what did Jesus say? I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see him do. When Jesus spoke the words of the Father was there to do the work. When Peter and John are at the beautiful gate, such as I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus, he gives a faith command, rise and walk. He spoke. That's the exact same that happened in Genesis 2:19. God would form an animal. He brought it over to Adam. Whatever Adam called it became its identity. That became its nature. It's the same thing, nature and identity. Why didn't God name it? He had already delegated authority and he didn't take it back. It was for real. So when God wants to do something in the earth, he has to do it through a man. Until a man will say it, and this is why we're talking about Friday prayer and pre-service prayer, God needs us to say it. He needs us to pray it so he can do it. And again, he says in 1 Timothy 2:4, I desire all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Right? But how are they going to get saved? By a preacher. It says somebody's got to preach them. Someone has to go speak words to them. That word will produce the faith of God in their heart. They'll be able to respond out of their mouth, and by that, they can be born again. That's why Paul writes it over in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. He says, this is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith which we preach. And then he uses salvation as an analogy to tell you what that is. And then he says in verse 9 and 10, he says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you'll confess Jesus, he says, by this confession, you'll be saved. And then he goes on again talking about faith, and he says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God will produce the faith of God in you. It will give you a vision. It will give you an image. It'll give you something to reach for and say, oh, yeah, healing is mine. Salvation is mine. Peace is mine. Freedom is mine. So Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, when again, he says, you'll know the truth. He said, this is that word revelation. That's when the Holy Spirit is breathing on this word to say, oh, I get it. I see who I really am. I know this truth, and now I'm able to walk in agreement with it. Amen. And now it's becoming a manifestation, a living reality in my life. Huh. Glory to God. Where were we? Thank you, Jesus. So, God's governing nature. Man was created with God's governing nature. So God rules the universe with wisdom, order, and intentionality. Again, 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let everything be done decently and in order. So man was created to extend that rule on the earth. You know, God has dominion and authority over the universe, but over this earth he gave to man. For a limited amount of time. Amen. Amen. He's going to take it all back in just a few more days, and we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth that's never known sin. Glory to God. Amen. But he said, but this is why, look at this. This is why humans will intrinsically build systems, create laws, form governments, establish order, and administrate environments. These instincts are not cultural. They are creational. This is just part of what's already in you. Man, you know, has all of these things inherently, you know, but again, without identity, it can lead to destruction, which is what we've seen throughout the ages, right? Man was created with God's moral capacity. Humans can discern right from wrong, not merely by instinct, but by conscience. You know, it's not right that I just go murder somebody. How do you know that? You know? Animals don't really know that, you know. You know that. You know that inherently because that's part of your spiritual DNA. Now, for some, it may be locked away down deep. Amen. But that is in every man. You know right from wrong. You know I ought not go steal somebody else's stuff. You know, so again, we look at the Ten Commandments, and these are just basic things. Yeah, I'll not try to go and covet my neighbor's wife, and all you understand that inherently. No one had to tell you, you know, these things. You knew it inherently. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God's relational capacity. Humans can know God, love God, and commune with God. The difference between you and a dog is the dog has no capacity to do this. You know, no other creature is invited into this kind of fellowship, not even the angels. Not even the angels. God's spiritual capacity. Man is the only being in creation who can commune with God, hear from God, speak for God. You can speak for God. Not just can, you should. Represent God and enforce God's will. You know, he writes this over here in 2 Corinthians 5, at the new birth, old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. And by the way, you're now an ambassador of Christ. That fast. I didn't have to grow into that. I just was. I am now here as an ambassador. What does an ambassador do? I speak for the king. So again, an ambassador goes to a foreign nation. He's not here representing Rodney. I'm representing the king who sent me. I'm not just responsible. I only have the right to say what he's told me to say. I have no right to tell you what I think about, you know, a foreign dignitary, foreign leader. Here's what I think we ought to do. No. You will get fired real quick. No, you were only authorized to say what the king told you to say. And so again, your basic instructions before leaving earth, he's told you what to say. He's told you what to believe. You have absolutely no legal right to say anything else. So why would you? Why would you? Never express yourself in terms of fear, doubt, unbelief. Amen. That's not you. That's not the real nature. Sickness and disease, that's not you. That's not you. Is Christ the healer? Is Christ the healer in you? Yes, he is. So I have no right to agree with symptoms. In me or on me or on you. Glory to God, I only have the legal right, and with that, the responsibility, and with that, the authority to declare healing, to declare wholeness, declare soundness, to declare peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man has God's ability to administrate creation. Man was created to manage the earth or steward the earth the way God stewards or manages heaven. So in all of this, this includes his stewardship, his cultivation, his governance, his oversight, his decision-making, and his problem-solving. Amen? There is a government. There is a government. Hallelujah. We have a king. Kings have governments. Glory to God. He is the King of Kings. Glory to God. Man is not a servant trying to imitate God. Man is a son who carries God's nature. So again, this is why rulership or dominion, this is not arrogance on our part. It is simply our inheritance. It is our inheritance in Christ. Again, I'm a joint heir with Christ. So how are we to walk out our original design? Number one, think from your new identity. Glory to God. So again, just when you think of this, again, imagine that hunk of marble. I'm not looking at all this stuff. I'm looking past that. I'm looking over here at 2 Corinthians 3. I'm beholding as in a mirror who I am, what I have, what I can do now that I'm in Christ. Now that I'm a child of God, this is what belongs to me. And anything else that does not belong, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, get under my feet. In the name of Jesus, I resist you, devil. I'm not receiving that. I'm not receiving it. Ha-ha, talk to the hand. Glory to God. So again, think from your identity. Stop thinking like the fallen man. Start thinking like the restored man in Christ. Again, Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in this flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith according to who I am in Christ. That's it. That's what this is not just a suggestion. This is a command for you. This is what you're authorized to do. Now here's the truth. As a son of God, you are, and I love this phrase, you are a covenant enforcing agent in the earth. Your assignment here really as this ambassador, I am a new covenant enforcing agent. I'm a son of God. I'm authorized to speak God's words. I'm not authorized to speak anybody else's words, including my own. I am only to say what God has said. Again, Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. And guess what? He had 100% results everywhere he went. None of his words ever fell to the ground, not one. Hallelujah. Would you like that to operate in your life? Sure you would. Sure you would. It's not just possible. It's what he's called us to do. Hallelujah. Again, this takes mind renewal. It takes mind renewal. Glory to God. So again, start thinking like the restored man in Christ. Your thoughts must align with your seated position in Christ, not your circumstances. He goes on to write in Colossians chapter 3, he says, I have been seated together with Christ in heavenly places. He says, so now set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are beneath. Amen. What is he really saying? I'm not considering my body. I'm not considering the circumstances. I'm not considering the people. I'm not considering any of those things. I'm considering Christ in me. I'm considering what God is saying about this situation. That's the only thing I'm considering. Glory to God. And from that place, from that seated position of authority, I rule and reign in this earth. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. So that's good preaching. Glory to God. So you and I, when we know the true identity, we reject every other identity that does not come from God. So again, as these thoughts come, as these images come, what am I doing? I'm taking my chisel right there with Michelangelo. In the name of Jesus, I reject the trauma. I reject this culture. I reject failure. I reject fear, comparison, insecurity, sin, all of its effects. I resist you. I reject you in the name of Jesus, not mine. Glory to God. And I see myself as God's image bearer. So again, I am the visible expression of the invisible God. I am an earthly extension of the heavenly ruler. Okay, two scriptures I'm going to share with us right quick. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you all, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the form of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, that at that name every knee should bow, of those in heaven and earth and on the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God. So Jesus came as a man, and he emptied himself out of that nature. Praise God. But he just received, it's not me, it's God in me. It's the Father in me. And now he became that model or that prototype for us to say, okay, it's not me, it's Christ in me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are the visible expression of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1, God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke long ago to the fathers and through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the world. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of himself, and upholds all things by the word of his power. The image, this image. So Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he is the second Adam. The second Adam. So in Christ, all men die. I mean, in Adam, all men die. In Christ, all men live. Adam was created, again, in the image and likeness of God. Adam and Eve fell. What did they? So they were the first ones who were born perfect, and then they were born again from life to death. At that moment, the nature of God moves out. Sin nature of Satan moves in. And so again, every seed is produced after its own kind. God says, no, here's a plan of redemption. He rolls it out. Second Adam comes, the second prototype. The image of God in Christ that he spoke in Genesis chapter 1 is now fully restored. The image of God is restored as it was at the first. And so now when I'm baptized into Christ, I got baptized back into Eden. I got baptized into that same life, into that same blessing. Glory to God. So again, when we read these things that says he's the brightness of his glory, the express image of himself, that's he's telling you this is also who you are. You are a joint heir with Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. You and I in the realm of the Spirit are the express image of the glory of God. Meditate on that. Meditate on that. Glory to God. Again, your authority comes from your identity. Huh? See yourself as God's image bearer. You are the earthly extension of the heavenly ruler. You are the glory of God in manifestation in the earth. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He says, even your body is not your own. It belongs to God. He says, I bought it. But what a price. So your spirit, your body, they belong to God. It's not up to you. It's not up to you to speak things over your body that he's not authorized you to say. It's not yours to speak over. It's his to speak over. Glory to God. So again, we are to act from our new nature. We carry God's ruling DNA. Amen. We carry his character, his creativity, his capacity, his governing nature. So again, we're speaking from our identity. Or again, we're saying what God says about us. And then this confession activates your identity. Your confession is what activates your identity. So again, believe in your heart, but now you confess out of your mouth, and by that confession, you're born again. Everything in the kingdom will always work the exact same way. I recognize truth, and now I agree with that truth by giving voice to it. I say what God says about it. That is what activates or brings alive that identity in you. Glory to God. Again, so let identity heal your self-image. You are not broken. Do not judge according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You are not broken. You are not powerless. You are not defeated. You are not overwhelmed. You're not insignificant. You are not the sick trying to get healed. You are not the broken trying to be made whole. You're not the victim. You are the victor. Is he not Jehovah Nisi, our victory? Yes, he is. So I have no business thinking in terms of I'm trying to climb my way up, trying to get, you know, no. I'm already sitting on top. I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ. That is my eternal position. And now I rule and reign from that place. I am what God says I am. Glory to God. So as we close, I want to encourage you, be preparing your heart for this Wednesday. Again, this is 1A. We're going to share 1B on that. And again, on Wednesday, we're going to look at what you're authorized to do and the legal right you have to do it. Glory to God. So I have some declarations for us. And let's all stand. Glory to God. There in our notes, let's just say these together. Hallelujah. And I'll say it, and you can just repeat it after me. I was created in the image of God. I carry God's ruling nature. I am not fearful. I am not powerless. I am not defeated. I am not intimidated. I am not overwhelmed. My identity comes from God alone. I carry His likeness, His nature, and His capacity. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Amen. Praise God. Well, we shared that scripture passage a moment ago in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. Glory to God. So here this morning, here in the room, those of you online, we're all going to pray this together, and you've got to open up your mouth. You've got to say it. Amen. Your confession is what activates it. Glory to God. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son and that you sent Him to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life. Do something wonderful with it. All for your glory. Amen. Praise God. We believe, according to the scripture, that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You're in the kingdom of God, and we welcome you. Praise God. Now, if you're here in the Ogallala surrounding area, I want to invite you to come to this church. We're here on Wednesdays at 6:30, Sundays at 10 o'clock. Praise God. Come be discipled in the Word of God. Amen. Everybody needs a church family, a place to call home. Amen. And we are that church. Praise God. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.